morning's message. It'll probably be a wee bit shorter than usual, I think. Don't know. But it's simply this. When tomorrow never comes. When tomorrow never comes. It's one verse. It's in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. And I'm going to be reading it from a few different translations. Never brag about what you will do in the future. You have no idea what tomorrow will bring. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Don't brag about tomorrow. Each day brings its own surprises. Never boast about tomorrow. You don't know what will happen between now and then. Don't brag about your plans for tomorrow. Wait and see what happens. Don't brashly announce what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. And the last one. Never brag about the plans you have for tomorrow, for you don't have a clue what tomorrow may bring to you. Folks, the sudden and completely unexpected arrival, and it was sudden and unexpected, of the coronavirus has taken our world, completely by surprise. Death, destruction, desolation, right across our whole world. I wasn't sure how many countries in our world have been affected, so I looked it up. 213. 213 countries across our world have been affected by this virus. The recent numbers that I have, confirmed cases of the coronavirus, is almost 14.5 million. Deaths, 609,000 deaths attributed to the coronavirus. Recently, some have even predicted that our world may never be the same again. Lock in has forced society, and I mean that, forced society to pause and reflect on our human frailty and vulnerability. You know what, folks? Sometimes we think we're invincible. Sometimes we forget just how vulnerable we really are until something like this happens. In one of the first, videos I did during the lockdown that was on our website and YouTube, it was entitled The Rat Race. And participation in the rat race came, folks, to an abrupt halt. And what was deemed a normal way of life, it was suspended until further notice. See, the thing about life is, folks, we can be engaged, involved, and in the rat race and not really know it. Not really understand that our lives sometimes, it's like, when I think of that, I'm thinking of a little gerbil, which is part of the rat family, and it gets onto that little wheel, and it runs, and it runs, and it runs, and it expends so much energy. And we know, even it doesn't know, it's going nowhere. It's literally going nowhere. And often in life, folks, we get onto the merry-go-round, whatever analogy you want to think of life as, the merry-go-round of life, or the rat race, and we just keep going round and round and round, and sometimes unconscious of what really is important in life. And at the minute, I can tell you, folks, what people are focusing on, what's really important in life, is their health. And for many, it's also their relationship with God, because it has scared a lot of people. A lot of people are afraid because they don't know whether they're going to have it tomorrow. That's how sudden this virus can grab hold of people. Don't know if you've heard this saying or not, but it sort of frightens me a little bit. The new norm, it has become more popular, that saying. But I've yet to listen to anyone to define what that really means. The new norm. What does that mean? What does that mean for church? What does that mean in so many other contexts of life? The new norm. Watch and see. I have had, I don't know how many videos sent to me by different people, and I mean a lot, concerning what governments are doing, what people are projecting for the future because of this virus. And some of it's shocking. Some of it are saying that, and I'm not saying this is the case, I'm only telling you some of the videos that I've got, they're saying that this is going to be another, or an excuse to bring us into a cashless society. Some have very, and I mean they're very concerned about whether or not we will have to be chipped to do transactions in banks or shops. And maybe a few years ago we thought that was far-fetched. We all have heard about the mark of the beast, the 666. And there's a lot of stuff out there, folks, that I'm not saying they're all true, whether they're conspiracy theories or not, I don't know. But I do know this, that our world has changed and it will continue to change. And where it ends up, I don't know. What will be the new norms? I don't know. We saw that working from home for many people became very efficient. Some businesses, they've reflected on the benefits of that and they've adapted, they've changed, modified their models to allow employees to work from home. But one of the downsides of that apparently is, and I know of someone who was affected in this very way, is that it has brought cutbacks in some of the workplaces, office staff. Some have been asked to take on the duties of others, while others, they've been paid off. Many people have lost their jobs and are in desperate situations. I can tell you that for a fact, folks, because I've been speaking to some of them. Someone asked me this question, and I don't have the answer. They said, Jim, before this coronavirus struck our world, the governments had no money. They had no money to pay the nurses. They had no money to do this, to do that, or whatever was deemed really important or necessary. But somehow, this person said to me, they found the money to pay 80% of people. Now, I'm not saying I'm glad they could do that. But someone said to me, where'd that money come from? Because they told us they didn't have any money. And yet withal, it didn't seem to be true. They had it because they'd been paying it. But governments have had to step up and temporarily finance people and businesses in order to prevent this total meltdown in society. But folks, in the midst of all this turmoil and uncertainty, there's a word that perhaps has taken on much more meaning than before. And I'm sure you can guess what the word is. It's the word tomorrow. Tomorrow. I wonder how many times in our daily conversations we use that word. In whatever context, tomorrow. I'll phone you tomorrow. I'll call tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. And we use it. But if you listened to all the translations of that one verse in Proverbs 27 and 1, Solomon clearly warns about boasting about tomorrow, about taking tomorrow for granted. And let's be honest, and I put my hand up too, we all do it. We all do it. Now we know that in life we have to plan as best we can forward to some degree. Yes. But when we do that, and we have to do that, we must always bear in mind that tomorrow may never come. It may never come. But for some of us, we find that hard to process. We find that hard to take in. When we entered this new year, 2020, not one of us thought that our forward plan would mean literally, absolutely nothing. Literally. It meant nothing. I mean, I have had one wedding cancelled or suspended. We're not even sure now if it's going to take place in September. It should have been in April. And so many different things that were planned. We had holidays that had to be cancelled. Maybe you had holidays that had to be cancelled. You'd save for them. You were really looking forward to them. But through no fault of your own, it didn't transpire. It didn't happen. Families of those who died, I prayed about that during the lockdown, they were not permitted. That Helen's dad, I'm sure most of you know Helen's daddy, passed away during the lockdown. 10 people in the home, 10 people in the graveyard. And I mean, it was awful. Because the whole church would have wanted to be there, but they couldn't. Many other things that we have taken for granted as normal have been disrupted and replaced by directives from our government. We know that all traditional church services were suspended, but in our government's wisdom, off licences were permitted to stay open. I find that personally disgusting. I really do. Families were isolated, businesses shut down, and our normal way of life, it really was changed beyond recognition. Did you ever envisage, really, queuing to get food and trying to find toilet paper? Did you ever? Nope. Economies around the world have all but crashed. Can you imagine petrol came down to 99p a litre? Now, that was a miracle. Just shows you how much money they're making off us, folks. And about 2/3 of that is tax, not actually the cost of the petrol. Home heating oil was selling for less than half price a year ago. Personally, I think one of the vital lessons we can take from the coronavirus is that it highlights and exposes, really, how fickle and vulnerable we are as individuals and our world as human beings. Most of us are familiar with this old saying, you never truly miss what you have until you lose it. Isn't that true? You never truly miss what you have until you lose it. I know what that felt like, folks, whenever I lost my hip. Now, when I say I lost it, I still had it, but it was no good. It really wasn't. But I was totally shocked when that happened, because I had no warning. It just, like the coronavirus, it just happened. And I remember the doctor who x-rayed me that morning. I saw Lenny. I was going into the hospital at 3:30 in the morning, seeing this wee white-haired man coming out, and I went, it looks like Lenny Adamson. 3:30 in the morning, imagine. That's who you meet. But not that that was a bad thing, Lenny. But when 7 hours later, that doctor says to me, your hip's gone. And I went, it's what? It's gone. You need a new one. And I couldn't believe it. And he says, you know, you're 60 now. And I remember, this is what I said to him, I don't think of age. And I don't. And here's the problem, folks, there's a lot of things in life that we don't really think about. We don't really think about them. And I mean, I wasn't thinking about my hip at all until he told me it's gone. And then he said, you're 60 now, and he says, You'll be thinking about things more now because you're 60. And suppose in effect he's right. As we grow older, we should take heed of maybe some things that we maybe don't. But when it comes to health, our health, we never truly miss what we have until we lose it. The coronavirus, folks, has caused loss in so many aspects of our world. It has changed our world dramatically and is continuing to do so. When many of the things we take for granted are lost, are changing beyond recognition, I want you to listen to this. We must not forget, our God does not change. Our God does not change. And He is still, and I think maybe some of us have, not that we don't believe this, but because of everything that we've been exposed to this past 3 months, maybe we're just struggling with the fact that God is still unchanging and all-powerful. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful God. And if you're His child, that should bring you great strength and comfort and fortitude in the midst of this pandemic. Our personal access to God, there's things we're restricted from doing. We can see it here right before our very eyes. But our personal access to God cannot be changed and affected by any virus or government regulations. They can't stop us accessing God. There was a king who tried to do that with a man called Daniel. Do you remember? Way back in the Old Testament, he told him, he actually issued a decree, I'm not allowed to pray to any God other than the God I tell you to pray to. He tried to restrict his access to God. What happened? Did it change anything in Daniel? No. Did he go home and did he go, oh, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll partly comply with that decree. He didn't shut the windows. He didn't say, instead of praying three times, I'll pray once. No. He did not change anything in his worship to his God, because he knew his God was unchanging. And if our God is unchanging, then we should recognize that, hold on to that, and know that no matter what happens around us in our life, our access to God should not be affected. Some are talking about a second wave of this virus in the winter. They're saying that it may be, more deadly than the first. This may or may not be the case, folks. I'm no doctor. I'm not a virologist. I don't know. But the very suggestion of it, what does it do? It brings more fear. It brings more doom. It brings more gloom into an already fearful world. That's what it does. In my opinion, if they don't know, then they shouldn't project what might happen. I see their point maybe in it. They don't want people to be negligent or complacent. But at the same time, folks, to have that hanging over you, this could be worse. Could be, might be. That's why we need to continue to look to our God. If it does come back more potent, our God still is all-powerful. We have to trust ourselves to our God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Those different people who were singing, they were singing about how our God can bless us and keep us and watch over us. And as we'll see when I go on down a bit here, if he chooses that that's not what he wants for our life, then we still have nothing to fear if we're his children. Those who walk in the light of God and have entrusted their repentant hearts to him, we can be sure of this thing. He holds today and he holds tomorrow. Our God does. Everything that exists is under his control. Everything. If God so wanted, folks, all he would have to do is speak a word. Stop. And this virus would cease. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. We know that on a situation in life where people were afraid. They were afraid. They thought they were going to drown. What was Jesus doing? They said, don't you care? That's the way the NIV puts it. Don't you care if we drowned? What was Jesus doing? Sleeping. The back of the boat. He was tired. He was exhausted from a day's ministry. They were afraid in that situation. And folks, there's no doubt about it. In life, somewhere, you and I will get into fearful situations. We will. And maybe like those disciples, we'll be thinking, well, Jesus, where are you? You're absent, you're not present, you're sleeping. You're sleeping on the job, and here we are, we're ready to die. And when they woke him, he said two words, fact, I think he said three, peace be still. What happened? Everything changed. What was a life-threatening situation, it became calm. There was no threat. They weren't anxious anymore. But then this is what he said to them. Oh, ye of little faith. There's no doubt about it, folks. This situation with this virus, it's going to challenge our faith. It's going to challenge a lot of things in our lives. But with, as the children sing it, with Christ in the vessel, we can what? Smile at the storm as we go. This is the important bit too, but there's a destination, sailing home. Folks, if you're a child of God here this morning, you're on a journey to a destination. And that destination is a place called heaven. It's a place called heaven. You see, for some, there will be no tomorrow in this life. Whether it is the coronavirus, a heart attack, a stroke, cancer, or some other disease, accident, or just plain old age, tomorrow is promised to no one on this earth. So where can we find hope and peace today? Accepting, of course, that we could be one of those. Maybe we don't even want to think about that, but that we could be one of those for whom there will be no tomorrow. But folks, that is the truth. That is the case. I can't stand here and promise you tomorrow. I can't stand here and promise myself tomorrow, because we don't know. Only God knows that. But we can find our hope and peace today. If we have already, and if we haven't, we can do, put our life, our hope and trust in the Lord. What happens for those whose tomorrow doesn't come? What happens to them? If they've repented of their sins, if they're following Jesus, then he has promised them a new tomorrow. An everlasting tomorrow. Get your head around that. An everlasting tomorrow. In a new and in a wonderful place called heaven. This is what Jesus was alluding to in John 14, verses 1 to 3. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. And Jesus said to his disciples, and they were troubled and they were afraid. So this is why he addressed it. Do not let your heart be troubled or afraid or cowardly. Believe confidently in God and trust in him. Have faith. Hold on to it. Rely on it. Keep going and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there, listen, to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. See, folks, for the redeemed and the reconciled with their God, tomorrow, no matter what it is, whether it's we get it tomorrow here or we don't, for the redeemed and reconciled to God, it should hold no fear or anxiety. None. If we are in right relationship with God, we should not be afraid whether we have it tomorrow, whatever that brings, or if we don't. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, 1-8. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, he's talking about his body, not a physical tent or house, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan. Folks, I have listened to people who were suffering, and sometimes literally groaning in pain, say to me, I just wish the Lord would take me home now. Not tomorrow. Now. Folks, honestly, I've had people say that to me. Some in hospitals and some in their own sick beds. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, Listen to this next line. That mortality, when we're alive, we're mortal, may be swallowed up by life. That mortality, in other words, our life here on earth, may be swallowed up by life. What does that mean? That it may, our mortality, whenever we die, then it's swallowed up by eternal life. That's what that means. Swallowed up by life. Eternal life. Life that cannot be affected or interrupted again by any virus, any sickness, or any disease. Now, he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. It's guaranteed if we're children of God. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That was Paul's dilemma. There were times in his life where he didn't know which was more expedient, that he stay here on earth and minister, or go to be with the Savior in heaven. And he knew which was better, to leave this tent behind, to leave the mortal remains, and go on to a life, a mortal life, that has been swallowed up by eternal life. That's what happens to those who have repented and are reconciled to God, right relationship with God. But what happens for those whose tomorrow doesn't come and they have not repented and been reconciled to God? Jesus makes it very clear in 5 verses. This is what he said. Luke 13, 1-5. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Are those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." That was his message. If people don't repent, they'll perish. What does that mean? It means they won't go to that eternal life, that eternal home in heaven. That's simply what it means, folks. During this lockdown, I've taken 5 funeral services, all different. All different. The last one I took this week, in total, in the funeral home and at the graveside, it probably lasted 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And I'm not just saying that. That's how long it took. A life. There was no tribute paid. Nothing. I read Psalm 23. I prayed. Went to the graveside. I read another portion of Scripture. I prayed. That was it. None of those funeral services, by the way, had anything to do with the COVID virus. This is my hope and prayer, that people all over the world will come to a fresh understanding of their human frailty and their vulnerability, and accept truly that tomorrow is promised to no one. Here's a question. Nearly finished. If you knew for certain that for you there would be no tomorrow, what would you do today? If you knew for certain, now take this personally, if you knew for certain that there would be no tomorrow for you, what would you do today? That's a big question, folks. Maybe you've never been asked that before. But maybe we should reflect on it. Because there are people in our world right now, and I don't know, Some of them could be in this room. There'll be no tomorrow. There'll be no tomorrow for them in this earth. They'll die. And the thing is this, folks. We need to understand that if tomorrow doesn't come, what happens? That's not it. I know there are people who believe in total annihilation, that once you die, you're done for, that's it. We don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. There is an eternity. There is an eternity, folks, for immortal souls. You see, Scripture says that God has placed eternity. God has placed eternity in the heart of man or humankind. He's placed it there. We have an eternal soul. But where will it spend eternity? We will either spend eternity with Christ, the one who came and gave his life to redeem us, or we will spend a Christless eternity in a place that people don't like to use that word anymore. I don't even like to use it, but Jesus used it quite a bit, and it's the word hell. And we will either spend eternity in heaven with him or in hell without him. Give the last words to Solomon. We've already read them, but we'll give the last words to him. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let's pray.